This episode of The Drive with Lante and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, movers who care. Visit them online at twomenchampagne.com for a free estimate.
Also by Molitor Financial Group, located at the Village at the Crossing in Champaign.
Last March, we were about to make history.
Looking for Garza, the lob.
The deadly coronavirus officially hitting the U.S.
The Big Ten Conference announcing today it will be canceling the remainder of the Big Ten men's basketball tournament.
NCAA has made the decision to cancel the men's and women's tournament.
I had a blast coaching this team. To have it end abruptly, it's crushing, it's devastating.
So we waited.
We grew. We came back.
So we be ready
to finish this fight.
Make that history.
Now,
Illinois basketball is back.
And we all in.
All in.
All in.
All in. Are you?
All in, my friends. We're back on The Drive. Last hour of the week.
Wow.
We're getting you set for...
Flew by.
Illini basketball, college hoops. A marathon starts tomorrow, and man, it's going to be fun. Illinois versus North Carolina A&T. 1 p.m. tomorrow at State Farm Center. Play again against Chicago State on Thursday, Thanksgiving Day, of course. Friday, the toughest challenge of the three. Ohio, who's projected to be second in the MAC. A couple of decent returnees, they come back. In terms of having their preseason, there's one on the preseason first team All-MAC, one on the second team. So that's your last challenge until you play Baylor.
Didn't they get...
We hope you play Baylor.
Yeah. I thought I saw on Twitter either yesterday or the day before that Ohio had some like four or five star that got granted eligibility. Maybe I was just
I did see a
that.
Transfer. There was a transfer.
Like a center.
A transfer that I think averaged... near a double-double at his previous stop. Now, that could easily have been Prairie View A&M or whatever it may be. But, yeah, there was a post on their social media account that he was granted late eligibility, so he'll be in the mix.
Well, his first greeting is Kofi Coburn. So
yeah, have fun with that.
Good luck. There's some fun games tomorrow. Ohio State plays Illinois State at the same time that Illinois plays.
That's
at
right.
1 p.m. on ESPN.
Yep.
Okay, take
I know nightcap is UCLA San Diego State.
Okay.
Which sounds interesting. I don't know much about San Diego State now without Malachi Flynn.
Right. Arizona State plays Rhode Island, previous stop of one of the Hurley brothers.
Okay.
I think Arizona
State
reshuffled
Baylor.
They're playing Rhode Island instead of Baylor now.
I'm still really interested to watch Arizona State. Remy Martin's coming back. He's in that preseason All-American conversation. Josh Christopher, five-star for them. They can be pretty good.
And then the second game of that same tournament is number 3 Villanova versus Boston College. So those are the two games on ESPN at 6 and 8:30.
Okay.
Arizona State, Rhode Island, and then Villanova, Boston College. And then I assume they switch. Maybe you get Arizona State, Villanova? One can hope. Nope, you don't.
You get Kansas Gonzaga
on Thanksgiving
at 12:30.
That's a good one.
You'd think they'd try to switch that up instead of putting it during. Well, it's the Lions game, so people might.
Yeah, Texans Lions. Yeah.
People might flip over to see Gonzaga, Kansas.
You're telling me that I'll be watching Illinois beat Chicago State by 60 instead of watching Kansas Gonzaga?
Yep,
it's part of the job. I'm not complaining.
Iowa plays North Carolina Central. Michigan plays Bowling Green, and Michigan State plays Eastern Michigan. Those appear to be the other Big Ten matchups tomorrow.
Indiana plays Tennessee Tech. It's a night game.
Feel the excitement.
In Bloomington, yeah, I get excited about that.
Oh, and Nebraska plays McNeese State. And I believe, if I am remembering my nerdom correctly, McNeese State was one of those teams that actually beat Nebraska early last year when Nebraska was so bad.
Mm.
I think. I'm checking. Nope, they beat McNeese State. They lost to UC Riverside to start the season last year. That was what that was.
The old powerhouse. Yeah, I don't know much about Nebraska. I'm not ashamed to admit that. They got some transfers. Trace McGowan's, we talked about during the break. He's one from Pitt that was pretty good. Was on Illinois' radar for a little while, but they're not going to be good.
It's just such a smorgasbord, and I get that Hoiberg was transfer U, right, at Iowa State, and he's sort of trying to rekindle that flame, but how do you even properly evaluate a team that, like, 12 of 13 guys are new? I mean, how do you do it? You can't. Yeah.
Real quick on the note of not being very good, can we just reminisce a little bit? Not to good times, but it kind of makes you appreciate where we are. This was only 4 years ago.
I know where you're going with this, by the way.
4 years ago today.
Uh-huh.
Do you know what I'm doing?
Was it today? I thought you were reminiscing to the Springfield games.
Oh, no.
Chicago State, the buzzer beater. With
same year, I think.
Jalen Coleman Lance.
No, not same year.
Hitting the buzzer beater.
Year after?
Okay, well, now I don't know where you're going.
Year after. On Thanksgiving Day, which happened to be November 24th in 2016. Illinois, West Virginia.
Mm. They'd been preparing for months for the press, in case you didn't know that.
Final score, West Virginia 89, Illinois 57.
That might be the nicest thing about moving on from John Gross is that I don't think we've had any games really in the Brad Underwood era where you get excited for a game and they're down 30-6 to start off, which in Gross's time here, it felt like we had a few of those a season where...
Well, routinely.
You just wanted to compete, and then you were down, 24-0.
Maryland on the road felt like you go down 24-5 at the first media timeout.
Playing at Indiana was always
Alabama and the NIT.
Oh, geez.
Remember that Indiana game where it was like... Indiana scored like 100 points, but at the end of the game, Illinois went on like a 20-2 run to make it like 102-82 or something. So it was like a moral victory, even though at halftime you were down like 62-30.
It's how you invented what we called the fake rally.
That's right. Yep.
Oh, man.
Anyways, thanks
for that.
Those
were the days, yep.
And then the next day, you played Florida State and lost, a closer game.
Correct.
I don't even remember that one because I was so checked out from the West Virginia game.
And that completed the trifecta. You started Monday the 21st. You lost to Winthrop in overtime. Then you got blown out by West Virginia and lost to a decent Florida State team. But
didn't you play Iowa State that year too?
I think that was the year was prior.
That was the year before. Okay.
What a week. What was the little guard on Winthrop's name? He was good.
Keon Johnson. Forget it.
You were up 10, right?
I never forget the other four. Let's talk about better times.
Okay.
Let's talk about the now. Can't blame you if you're absolutely fired up. We're less than 24 hours away from the opener for Illini basketball, and I'm excited for this segment as well. Illinois basketball season roundtable. To start this thing off, we're going to save this question for last. What defines a successful season for this preseason top 10 team? Isaac came up with this one. I think it's a good question. What level do they have to reach to define it as a success? Is it a Big Ten championship? Is it a certain stop in the NCAA tournament? We're interested in your input, 217-359-2255. We will read off your answers, give our own at the end of this segment. I'll start this thing off, though. Best thing about this team, Isaac, what do you think it is?
I think your national relevance and that people are talking about you. You're going to play on ESPN multiple times. Think of the last time we had a team like Duke and a team like Baylor on the schedule, and you're expecting a win going in. I mean, you know it's going to be tough, and if you lose by a few points, it is what it is, but just the fact that so many people nationally are expecting you to go far into the tournament and probably win the Big Ten, I think that's the best thing about this team is that they're putting Illinois back on the map, and it feels like it's been a long, long time coming.
Isaac went mentality. I'm just going to go boringly obvious here. You're returning two All-Big Ten All-American players. You might have the most returning talent, not in terms of quantity, but in terms of quality of anybody who brought back. I mean, in terms of how awful this COVID has been, you could not have benefited better from two players returning to your school than Kofi and Io. And I mean, it's a boring answer, but the best thing about this team is that Io and Kofi, another offseason of experience and development, are still on this roster. That's all I got.
I mean, you gave the, as you called it, a boring answer. I'm just going to give you an even more simplified, boring version of that answer. It's Io. It's a college basketball A-lister, one of the best in the sport. You look around at some of the best teams last year, Obi Toppin, Dayton, not here anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Michigan State, Cassius Winston. Kansas, Devon Dotson was an All-American point guard. When you have one of those guys, you can compete at the highest level of college basketball, and that's what he is. When the fact that when the ball's in his hands late in the game, if you need a game-winning shot, he's obviously proven that. I just think overall the program is following Io's lead, and that just gives you so much confidence, whether you're a fan, a coach, a player in that locker room, a freshman trying to establish himself in Adam Miller or Andre Curbelo. Playing off of Io's lead, I think, is the best thing to feel good about for this Illinois basketball team.
Okay, so we obviously mainly hear the positives about this Illinois basketball team.
Are you sure we're homers?
I'm just kidding. No. But even the national media, I mean, you hear Io, you hear Kofi's name, you're not hearing possible problems this team might have. Trevor, diehard fan, Derek, I don't know if anybody knows this team better than you outside of the coaching staff. What is something that scares you the most about this team? Trevor, we'll start with you.
We were actually randomly talking about this last night after the show, and we don't know what would have happened if there was a tournament. And I understand that through random video game simulations on Twitter, everybody then had sort of, the consensus was that Illinois was like a Sweet 16 or Elite Eight team, right? Even though we don't know what would have happened. We don't know. And Brad Underwood said they had the best practice ever and they would have beaten anybody in the country. So it was all the more painstaking. But I just think that we're still forgetting, and it may get better, but my focus in terms of a negative that I want to see improve is simply shooting. And I think that you're forgetting, not you specifically, Derek or Isaac, that there were stretches last year where you would go ice cold from deep in a half and you would have to climb out of a hole. Now, to their credit, they did. But, I mean, do you remember that non-conference? Because it wasn't pretty for the majority of the non-conference. And a lot of that had to do with shooting. And so I just think that until we see it, until I see Adam Miller shoot 35% from deep, until I see Trent. Remember Trent? For 2 months where it looked like he couldn't hit a three. And I don't really know if that ever got better. He made one against Iowa. And we were waiting for the breakout game, and we never saw it. And so I just think that one of the issues that might scare me is, what if you run into a situation in a crucial game where you just can't hit a shot? That would be what scares me the most.
Yeah, it's completely fair. And I think at the top of the list for me, and this, I'm just going to throw this one out, but it's COVID, obviously, and just the unpredictable nature of what could happen and who could be out. And I don't want to rain in this parade before it's about to start, but shooting is obviously a very good answer. I do worry a little bit with the injuries of Hutcherson, Bossman, Verdonk. If you suffer another one in there, not all of a sudden, we talk about depth of this team, you start to wonder how deep you can actually go on the roster. I would say just not having Andres Feliz. I think maybe we don't talk about that enough because we love the talent in the backcourt.
That's
with Adam
answer.
Miller, with Andre Curbelo. It was just a guy that made a lot of clutch plays. He was a veteran. You're not going to have that same physicality and just experience that he brought to the table. Love Curbelo. He's going to need some time to mature and he's going to go through some struggles. Not having that guy could hurt you a little bit.
The thing that scares me the most is last year we obviously won a bunch of big games that were super exciting. You know, we were great on the road and went out with a bang beating Iowa on national TV. The thing that scares me the most, though, is that you proved last year you were on the rise, but you weren't at the top. Scott Van Pelt and the Terrapins come into town, and everybody's talking about you, and you compete, but you don't win. Michigan State comes into town. State Farm Center is sold out. You compete, but you don't win. You make mistakes. And going back to Arizona, I mean, even at the beginning of last year, when you go on the road and play a good ranked team with two NBA draft prospects, you lose. So you're doing a lot better. You're on the rise. But this year I want to see, and you get opportunities right away with Baylor and Duke, I want to see you win those games, prove that you've gone over the top and you're one of the teams that everybody else is chasing after in the college basketball conversation.
Yep, that's fair. Kevin weighed in and did say injury. So he was kind of going along the lines of what you were saying, Derek, just in terms of if player A got injured in the front court, suddenly your front court depth is something that you thought might be an asset and maybe it isn't.
Right. Not to go too heavy here, not that we can't just slice off some of these NFL games, because we want to talk hoops around here. But another one to mention is, and I'll bring up some examples at the forefront, you lost some heartbreakers. Maryland, when Callahan hit a 30-footer. The tip-in by Xavier Tillman against Michigan State was the difference between winning the Big Ten and not winning the Big Ten. Mm-hmm. At the same time, you won a ton of close games. Michigan by 2, Northwestern by 4, Rutgers by 3, Wisconsin by 1. The Penn State game was really close. There was a Minnesota game at home. It was in 3 points
you,
under a
you
minute.
You could argue they were lucky.
Lucky.
Not that they weren't talented enough to win right. those games, but if you said there were 10 toss-up games last year, they won 7 or 8 of those
Michigan
10
missed
toss-up
a ton
games.
Of free throws in that game, too, that gave Iowa the chance to win.
Indiana was a 1-point game. Iowa at home was a 2-point game. Now, look, you have Iowa earned the best closer in college basketball or that title. That's part of it is not luck in my obviously
sure.
in my
yep.
opinion. He's
yep.
proved that. But just you got to separate yourself a little bit more in case some things don't go your way, in case somehow they force the ball out of his hands and some late game stuff goes against you.
Right. I mean, that Northwestern game, for instance, that shouldn't have been a 4-point game. The Minnesota game shouldn't have been a 4-point game before DeMonte had that steal.
Nebraska gave you fits last year.
Yeah, Trent hit a half-court shot to put you up at halftime.
Yeah.
Or a three-quarter court shot. So, it's fair. We also wanted to hit on the biggest X factor on this team. You know, we talked about a positive and a negative. This is a hot-button topic. Lots of people love, you know, who's the most impactful person that you might not be thinking about that we're not talking about. But, Derek, in your mind, who's the biggest X factor on this team?
A lot of people have their guy for this answer, and I don't blame you if you go a couple of different directions. I'm going Jacob Grandison. I think that in terms of a position that is important at the four, where, look, DeMonte's going to start, probably play 25 minutes a game at that spot. If he continues to shoot the three at a decent stretch, that's not a guarantee. We can't just assume that.
Mm-hmm.
He can hold down that position, but you still need someone in there. I think Grandison has shown in practice, again, you got to translate it to the court. Atlanta fans kind of roll their eyes like, okay, practice, Jamar Smith syndrome. Let's not assume too much, but he's 22 years old. He's experienced, played at the D1 level, high IQ. I think he does a lot of different things that you can add in and that you like. So I think he can be a nice role player on this team.
I think the clear answer is basically what Derek's saying. How long at U of I have we needed, you know, that solid four man that can play down low, can guard anybody, and can also score? But for me personally, I'm going with Adam Miller. Ever since I saw him, obviously he's a highly rated recruit. Ever since I saw him put that kid on a poster, you know, 6 or 8 months ago or whenever, I've just been so excited to get him on campus. And if he can knock down threes and take the place of Alan Griffin, that would be huge. And then also, when Io's not on the court, which hopefully doesn't happen very often, somebody that keeps the defense on their toes, somebody that can score, you know, in all sorts of ways so that defense can't take a break whenever Io's off the court. So give me Adam Miller.
Isaac just reminded me of my second what scares me the most, and I'm afraid to even say it, but when he said Io isn't on the court, Derek and I sat here for about half an hour of a show thinking that Io was never going to play a game again. And then you very, very narrowly avoided that gut punch, and you got lucky there. And I'm not, look, he's not, you can't label him as injury prone because he happened to slip on a wet spot on the floor and got hurt. But that would be something else that would scare me the most is, and you did hit on it with injury, that you have a massive injury of some kind.
And talk
it's
about,
just a freak thing.
Talk about getting lucky. The fact that Io didn't destroy his knee on that awkward fall against Michigan State is just insane.
Good point.
We'll
that
take
was one
it.
Of the worst hours of sitting in a parking lot I've ever had. That might sound dramatic as someone who's purely just a fan, but I just didn't know what to do with myself. Biggest X factor, I was going to go with Derek's answer, but I will say Trent Frazier just because we haven't mentioned him yet. It just feels like when Trent Frazier is hitting, that's another weapon for you, obviously, on the outside. You're not really counting on him for anything inside the perimeter necessarily. But to your point, it's funny to say this, but some of that Andres Feliz production was actually threes. He hit threes at a decent clip last year, and that was when Trent wasn't. And look, Georgie's not going to be counted on for threes. To your point, Derek, I think we can't expect DeMonte to do what, for some reason, I have no idea what the hell happened there. For 5 games at the end of last year, he was knocking down like 3 threes a game. But I just think that if Trent is hitting, it just adds another dimension to this team. And since no one had brought up his name yet, I'll go with Trent Frazier for that one.
Ken also weighed in on the College of Aces text line. Agrees with you with Trent Frazier. following up off your point, last nine games of last year, DeMonte hit nine threes. Illini who hit more than DeMonte during that stretch, Alan Griffin, end of list.
That was a good stat.
Yeah. Tells you everything to know. Still want a couple more to weigh in. We've had a couple of you do so already. What defines a successful season for this Illini group? Again, whether that's winning a Big Ten title, getting to a certain mark on the march, in March, NCAA tournament. We want to hear from you. 217-359-2255. Up next, who's the most impactful newcomer? Isaac, I think I know your answer based on your X Factor response, but tell us a little bit more about Adam Miller. I'm guessing that's where you're going.
Yeah, Adam Miller is obviously my most impactful newcomer.
Do you think it's close between him and Curbelo, or do you think it's clearly going to be Adam?
I do love Curbelo because it also has been a long time at U of I that we've had that Chris Paul-type disher that you know is going to go out there and put up close to double-digit assists every night.
Hey, and man, Tijon Lucas was pretty good for 2 months there, okay?
So I do think Curbelo is going to be that someday, but Derek, I don't know if you agree. Miller sounds like he's going to be on the floor more than Curbelo, at least at the start. They're both going to play a lot, but if Miller does get the start tomorrow against North Carolina A&T, we need somebody that can replace some of the dog with Andres Feliz, and we need somebody that can replace the scoring and three-point shooting of Alan Griffin. So if Adam can step into that role, and it's going to be tough. I mean, look how Io started off his freshman year, and now he is possibly going to be one of the best Illini ever. So with Adam Miller, if he can fill in for those missing pieces that we lost from last year and just be this highly touted freshman that we think he can be, I think he can have the biggest impact. If he can really step into that role and give Io a break when it comes to scoring points, I think that's going to be huge.
I mean, the answer is Adam for me. If he counts as a newcomer, which I guess he does, Grandison is a fair follow-up to that. Just as somebody that we haven't mentioned yet, at least in this question. But the answer is Adam for me.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think if you maybe asked me back earlier in the summer, I might have said Curbelo, especially if Io didn't come back, because I feel like the ball would be in Curbelo's hands a lot more. But still, I think Isaac phrased it perfectly in terms of the shot making you're trying to replace with Adam, maybe even some of that dog that he can bring. The fit just makes so much sense for Adam, and the opportunity, I think he's going to start maybe from day one. That would be my expectation. Maybe Brad throws a little curveball in there and starts Georgie, makes Adam earn it before the Baylor game. For the sake of my message board, don't do that. But I'm going with Adam. I just think he's exactly what you need. And I think he's ready with the way his frame is built, his physical, his three-point shooting. Yeah, he's definitely what the doctor ordered.
All right, guys. Illinois is projected to win the Big Ten by many national media, but it's not going to be because the Big Ten is having a down year. Who is going to be the toughest Big Ten title challenger to the Illini?
Okay, follow me here. I think the go-to answer is going to be Iowa, but you beat Iowa. At least you went 1-1 against Iowa. In my mind, the challenger is like the big brother that you need to sort of like slay the dragon, right? I don't really see Iowa as slaying a dragon because I see them as equals. Does that make sense? Like, I see Illinois and Iowa on a similar plane, and I don't necessarily think if you beat Iowa the one time you play them this year that it's like, oh, Illinois has finally reached the mountaintop. So I'm actually going to say Michigan State.
Okay.
You went 0-2 against them last year. I don't know that they're going to win the Big Ten, but I just think that is sort of like the send the statement win, and that I don't know. That's where I'm going, Michigan State.
I respect that. I'm a huge Rocket Watts guy. I think that, you know, he can put Michigan State in position, and obviously Tom Izzo every year, to compete at the top of the Big Ten. I'm going to Iowa. I just think that they have the most talent in terms of, obviously, offensive firepower. They scare me more than Wisconsin. Can Iowa play a lick of defense? I don't know. There'll be nights where the ball goes in for them that it won't matter. Mm-hmm. They're just going to score maybe mid to high 90s, maybe even touch 100, and you just have no chance. Throw in Bohannon into that mix if he's healthy and able to play up to his peak. They're going to be a handful. I mean, I even like Joe Toussaint is a nice piece off the bench. Wieskamp, Garza, roll your eyes, McCaffrey. Frederick. Frederick was a really good shot maker for them as well.
I literally just forgot that Bohannon's there this year.
Yeah.
Until you said that. If you're watching on YouTube, my face just like...
And it's who it should be, right? The rival, that whole deal. Why not Iowa?
Man, yeah.
Just for fun and to see if Lon is listening, I'm going to go with Wisconsin just because they are probably tied with you when it comes to experience. I mean, returning a lot of people, Davidson, Reavers, and they got a share of the Big Ten last year, and I think they're the only big dog you play twice. I think you only get Iowa only once. So Wisconsin, you got to run through twice. You took them down last year at Kohl Center, but again, just that experience coming back, and they are going to want to get you back for last year. So I think experience is what dominates in this league, and Wisconsin's got lots of experience. So
Wisconsin should not have won a share of that Big Ten title.
No, that was interesting.
It all came down to that road game in Indiana, and they happened to play better. I'm sorry, but Wisconsin could have easily finished sixth last year.
If they played more games on the road last year.
I will go to my grave saying that Wisconsin was nowhere near a Big Ten title-worthy team last year.
The schedule was favorable. They took advantage of it to their credit. They did have, playing teams at home and the way they shot the three at home. But, yeah,
They got swept in tournaments by Ole Miss and Richmond. Now, to be fair, Illinois lost to Miami. You can say the same thing.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I just watch them and I just think it works for them. They're the best scheme, obviously, in terms of a fit and a chemistry thing. But I don't know. I don't like them and I don't respect them. And that's that. That's all I have to say on that front.
Fair enough. Adam from Tuscola weighed in. He thinks Andre Curbelo is going to be a huge surprise, as he says, X factor and most impactful. He's going to throw a little drama into the mix. He says, I'll have some Miller-Io drama that poetically sorts itself out, eventually becomes the basis of a Disney movie. I mean, probably not, but wanted to give you guys an interesting text. We appreciate that one, Adam. You guys ready to get to what defines a successful season?
Love it.
Yes.
Or do you want a storyline that we're not talking about?
Well, I threw in as a bonus what Big Ten storyline we'll be talking about by March that we aren't talking about now. Derek, you mentioned during the break, in other words, Northwestern football would be an example of something that in July I don't think any of us thought we'd be talking about 6-0 Northwestern as the team that might have a chance to run the table, and yet here we are. So I was thinking if you could project forward 5 months and think about a team or a coach, positive or negative, that we aren't talking about right now, what might you say would that storyline be?
It's a good question. Could it be a Michigan who maybe follows the same formula as a Northwestern where they get a point guard who's a transfer and he comes in and he's what they need, replacing Xavier Simpson, to go along with Livers, to go along with Franz Wagner? They've got some talented pieces, Shondi Brown. Now, there would be some pushback on who Juwan Howard is as a coach versus who Pat Fitzgerald is as a coach, and as far as proven commodities, there's no arguing that at all. Also, I'll throw this in there as a storyline. How about sorting out the Big Ten title when one team's played 4 or 5 games more than the other?
You took mine. You just took my storyline. I was going to say that COVID hits Michigan State and they're 16-2 and Illinois is 25-3 or something. What do you do? I mean, there's such a drastic difference there. That was my storyline. Was COVID affect someone particularly that's in the title race?
There's going to be some random Northwestern player who averages a double-double.
Boo Booey?
Hey.
Ryan Young?
Or a point guard like guy from a few years ago that played point guard for Northwestern for 10 years.
Well, there was Scherna. That was long ago, though. He had the ugly shot from his hip.
He played for him when they went to the tournament.
Did he?
What's his name?
You're not thinking of McIntosh, are you?
McIntosh. Oh, that's Brian, what I'm thinking of. Yeah. There's going to be a guy like that that disappears from Northwestern, and we're talking about it, and he's going to be on first team or something like that.
Wow. So all right.
That's my crazy prediction.
Northwestern doesn't have an awful team. They have no depth, but Ryan Young isn't bad. Boo Booey isn't bad. Miller Kopp is good.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to make the tournament, but if they finish, I don't know. What would that be, 13-10 or something? It wouldn't shock me.
If they were somehow better than Maryland, would you be shocked?
Ooh, that's a hot take.
Hmm.
That's a hot take.
What would be super shocking.
What if the storyline towards the end of the season is Mark Turgeon's on the hot seat? Could you see that?
I could totally see that.
Because they seem to hate him there.
They go to the tournament and they want him fired. They want to share the Big Ten last year.
Yeah.
And they still don't love him.
I saw they offered AJ Casey, right?
They did, yeah.
We shouldn't talk about that, though.
Okay, how about a good old radio tease? You want to do one of those?
That sounds like a good
radio tease. When we come back, we'll read the text, give our thoughts. What defines a successful season for Illinois basketball? We'll do that when we come back. This is The Drive.
Delicious baked goodies at Curtis Orchard with Aaron sharing details.
In November, that's our big pie month. We are baking pies. We're taking orders, especially that week of Thanksgiving. So think of us if you don't want to be slaving over a hot oven. We'll do the work for you.
And how many varieties, Aaron?
For the pies, we've got apple, pumpkin, pecan, and we've got blackberry cobbler as well, and cherry.
Yummy!
Yes, they are very, very good.
If people need pie details about ordering in November, CurtisOrchard.com.
That's right.
Cash for kids' sake could get you some money just in time for the holidays. Big Brothers Big Sisters of Central Illinois has a limited amount of $100 tickets to get at their website, give.classy.org/cashforkidssake. The first drawing for $5,000 comes our way December 15th. So what are you waiting for? Get your tickets today. There's a limited amount available. Learn more, volunteer, or donate for this great mentoring organization at bbbscil.org.
You've changed thousands of diapers, played hours of peekaboo and duck duck goose because you'd do anything for your kids. That's why it's so important to protect them with life insurance from State Farm. State Farm agent Kurt Lenshaw will help make it easy and affordable to help you protect your family no matter what the future holds. Because for the people you do anything for, life insurance could mean everything. Call State Farm agent Kurt Lenshaw in Champaign-Urbana today. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Hi, I'm Flora Adams-Williams, physician assistant at OSF Family Medicine Group. The CDC recommends that everyone over the age of 6 months receive a flu vaccine each season. The flu vaccine strain or vaccinations will change each year, so it's important that everyone receives an updated flu shot.
Hello, I'm Jared Rogers from OSF Healthcare. With COVID-19 impacting our community, it is more important than ever this year to get a flu shot early. It takes about 2 weeks for your body to develop antibodies, and if you've ever had the real influenza, you surely know that you don't want the flu and anything else at the same time.
They can have very similar symptoms such as fever, cough, sore throat, body aches, fatigue. If you feel like it is more than just the flu, we recommend that maybe you could get the COVID-19 testing. And there are free testing sites throughout the city. OSF will provide that test.
Avoid co-infection, reduce the impact on local healthcare systems, and save lives.
If you want more details, visit OSF healthcare.org.
Holiday savings are here at Field & Stream. Give the gift of tradition with $50 off SpyPoint Link Micro Cellular Game Camera. Discover 20% off all gun safes, 20% off select Sitka gear, hunting apparel and accessories, 25% off muck boots, men's or women's Northeast lightweight flannels on sale $9.98, and $250 off Camp Chef 24-inch slide and grill pellet grills. Hunt down deals online at fieldandstreamshop.com. Field & Stream, where traditions begin. Exclusions apply. See store for details.
Pia's opens every morning, daily at 7 a.m. You will find it all at Pia's with live video gaming, sports, food, drinks, and fun. See you at Pia's, West Springfield Avenue in Champaign. Serving food 7 a.m. to 11 p.m. and drinks until 2 a.m. daily. Pia serves up its famous 10-ounce Slugger Burger along with great wings and so much more. You will find it all at Pia's with live video gaming, sports, food, drinks, and fun. See you at Pia's, West Springfield Avenue in Champaign.
My name is Tina Hughes, and I am a Champaign County farmer. I farm not just for this generation, but for generations to come. I farm with sustainability and the future in mind. I farm to provide 3 safe, nutritious, and healthy meals for my family and for yours. I farm using technology and the best practices available to allow my kids and grandkids to be able to farm this ground long after I am gone. Farming is a tough business, and times are hard right now, but I will farm for my family and for yours. Champaign County farmers farm for you. A message from the Champaign County Farm Bureau.
As you drive to your vacation destination, you are assured of a trip filled with great memories of your adventures. That's because you came to Midas for a road trip pre-check. Dave and his crew in Urbana inspected and repaired your vehicle in advance for brakes that stop, a transmission that keeps you going, shock absorbers and struts for a smooth ride, an engine tuned for your best mileage and power, and the air conditioning to keep it cool. Nothing beats a secure feeling you get from Midas Tire and Auto in Urbana. Enjoy the scenery and family time knowing that Midas is with you all the way.
see the showroom top designer shop. Flooring Surface is your first stop.
This is your year for impeccable flooring style. Flooring Surfaces brings fresh looks from around the world to Central Illinois. And right now, we're offering deep discounts on all the floors you want. You'll save big on Italian porcelain tile, beautiful hardwood floors, waterproof vinyl, soft and durable carpets, and fantastic backsplash mosaics. If it's in stock, it's on sale now. And with over 1 million square feet of flooring in stock, you'll find the right look to fit your style and budget. Combine excellent selection with free design assistance, free estimates, professional installation service, and financing options. It's easy to see why Flooring Surfaces has your floor covered. See us today at 401 East Mercury Drive in Champaign.
See the showroom top designer shop. Flooring Surfaces, your first stop. Flooring Surfaces.
Here's what people are saying about PDR Automotive in Urbana. The following reviews are from actual customers in the last 5 months. They were kind and helpful. They offered a very thorough evaluation. Their staff was friendly and attentive. They were quick, reasonably priced, and kept me informed during the process. They did a great job with what I requested. They were very professional, and it was a great overall experience. If you're looking for an honest automobile mechanic that will fix your car the first time, visit PDR Automotive on Cunningham Avenue in Urbana.
Hi, it's Stevie J. Start your day with me along with Diane Ducey, weekday mornings 7 to 9, here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
Back here on The Drive, in case you're curious, can't bet it here in the state of Illinois, but the betting line is out for Illinois, North Carolina A&T. Illinois, a 26.5 point favorite currently on FanDuel. Is that worth the drive to Indiana? Probably not.
No.
No.
They won by 31 last year in the same matchup.
Yep.
The spreads with these early games, it could be anybody's
now
guess.
Anything under 40 for Chicago State.
Oh, that's in play for sure.
That'd be a fire.
No, that's
sure gonna, the books would be onto that one.
I'm telling you right now, that's going to be 120 to 52 or something like that.
Book it.
Whatever the spread is, it's over. Oh, book it. We haven't done that in a year.
Oh, yeah.
Anyways, we were talking
about... Get
to
the College of Aces text line.
What defines a successful season? A few people weighed in. Andrew says either a Big Ten regular season championship or a Big Ten tournament championship, and then also an Elite Eight finish or better.
Ooh. All of that put together?
I think one of either the regular season title or the tournament title.
And then Elite Eight.
And then Elite Eight or better.
Okay.
Lindy says top three in the Big Ten, Elite Eight or better.
Okay.
Let's see. Ken said he was still concerned about outside shooting. Back to our other talks. 217 Texas, top three in the Big Ten, at least a three seed in the NCAA. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
That seems pretty fair without... I was talking to you guys, and we'll dive into it right now, but I hate putting a very specific label on what would be a successful versus an unsuccessful, because especially with COVID... bleep happens.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But Derek, for you, what would define a successful season?
I understand it and where fans are looking, especially at the finish and where you get in the finish line as far as your NCAA tournament finish. And I'll be honest, I traditionally fall in that category of defining a season, Sweet 16 team, Elite Eight. I think you have to have one of where... If you're not going to win a Big Ten title, you got to have a really nice finish in the NCAA tournament. Ultimately, that's cards on the table. Get to that point. As I've mentioned a lot, get through the obstacle course of the regular season. Some weird stuff could happen. But if you're at full strength in the isolation of Indy, you got to make a run. You got to make it memorable. So I would say Elite Eight. I'm along those lines of saying an Elite Eight type year. I understand there are certain matchups or there are certain times where the ball doesn't go in, that whole coach speak type deal. But you could have a great year and not advance to that level, but I think you need a Big Ten title. Something to put up in the rafters. I think that's what you're really looking for, in my opinion. Am I wrong?
No, that's a good way of putting it, I think, right? Some type of, what would you call it, like thing to hang your hat on, like a tangible regular season title, Big Ten tournament title, Sweet 16 appearance, something like that, right?
And I don't think that, look, top three in a league as strong as this is a nice position, but that's expected.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm defining that as successful, where last year you were you were one game away from winning the Big Ten. You look around the league, Maryland lost Cowan and Jalen Smith. Michigan State lost Winston and Tillman.
Penn State's way down. They were a top team last year.
Penn State's down. You brought back, because of the circumstances, you got Io back. You got Kofi back. You got to do more than just top three if you want to call it success in terms of where you're aiming for.
If that's the base, like if that's where we're starting, right,
yeah,
where last season was, then to your point, you can really only go higher. And technically, you finished second because it was a three-way tie for first.
For me, this might sound kind of dumb, but clearly better than last season. So you want to finish better, like we were just saying. You technically got second last year, so let's at least win or have a share of the regular season. And then if you're not going to win the tournament, I mean, somebody could just be having a really good day that's not you.
I don't care about the tournament.
No, the tournament is less important. But then I would love to see, you know, a Sweet 16 and then a share or outright regular season title for me. And then just send Iowa off into the sweet, sweet sunset. And again, yeah, having something in the rafters would be pretty nice.
Yep, I'm with you guys. I don't necessarily care about the Big Ten tournament finish unless for some reason that's the difference between a one seed and a two seed and you need to impress and you lose in the opening round to a bad team that doesn't look great. But I'm trying to manage extremely high expectations that are warranted with what I just said with COVID and bleep happens. So, like, you know, to Derek's point, the ball might not be going in one night, but then at the same time, that can't be the single reason why the season didn't work because you're better than that. And so I honestly feel like it just boils down to the tournament for me. If you finish third in the Big Ten and you don't win the Big Ten tournament and you're a four seed, but you get to the Elite Eight, I don't care. Whereas if you win the Big Ten regular season title and you're bounced in the second game of the tournament, I would care.
You can definitely balance some things out.
Right.
And you get multiple opportunities to do that. But I think an eye test is just big, too. If we clearly see this team is better and they've taken advantage of some things, you win a top 10 matchup on ESPN, things like that. So the eye test is going to be big. But again, yeah, you want a complete, consistent season. And there's no reason you shouldn't have that with all this experience returning.
Except for COVID in terms of
consistent. Right, right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I'm with you guys. We're going to remember this season, especially Illinois and Iowa fans down the road. And look, it goes beyond those two teams, but when they brought back Garza, you brought back Io, and if you had over them, you know what? We won the Big Ten that year.
Mm-hmm.
That's something to, again, hang your hat on, something substantial to carry forward with your program. You got to take another big step forward with this year with what you've built. Who knows? And I wrote this in the piece that I did last night. With the way that Brad Underwood's recruited, he's giving you a top 10 roster. He may very well be the guy that puts you in national contention year in, year out, or maybe somewhere close to that. Maybe you're going to have an off year. A lot of teams do. But you got to take advantage of an opportunity like this. When you have one of the best players in college basketball in Iowa, you have an NBA big man at some point in Kofi, and your best recruiting class so far, pair that all together with experience. And you got to do something that...
And frankly, a Big Ten schedule that's not that all difficult in terms of the top pairings either, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that would even lend more so to your argument that you should be favored to win the Big Ten this year.
Sure.
And that you're only playing, to Isaac's point, Michigan State and Iowa once.
Yeah, and one qualifier I would throw in there, if something weird happened, if something during the Big Ten season happened where games were postponed or whatever it may be, as you said, stuff happens with COVID or whatever, and you don't win the Big Ten. But if you get right for that postseason, that's what it's all about.
Yep.
So where you advance in the tournament, I think that will ultimately define the season. Is that a lot of pressure to define your year in a tournament? Yeah. But
I feel like that's fair, and I'm not concerned about the pressure. Do you agree? Like in terms of the mentality of the players on the team, the mentality of Underwood, I don't feel like saying you need to get to the Elite Eight is something that's going to make them fold in any way.
No, I don't think so at all. I think that that's what they want. I think they view this season as, do they want to win the Big Ten? For sure. Do they want to hang that over the heads of Iowa, Wisconsin, Michigan State? Yeah, definitely. They want to get back to where that moment was taken away from them. They want to get back to postseason play and say, okay, this is where we were supposed to be. Now let's go do what we were going to do, or let's go do what we're even better equipped to do now than we were last year.
And, you know, it's a lot more comforting knowing we have a guy like Io leading the team, because Trevor and I think can attest it's harder than ever for 18 to 22-year-olds to stay off of social media and not just read into what the media is saying about them. So Brad can say, they can all say, you know, we're not listening to what people are saying about us. But, you know, they are. They're hearing it. They're seeing things. But if there's somebody who I think could lead a team and not let the outside noise affect them, it's Io DeSumo. So that's comforting, having the experience. And it's time. Lon was saying this off the air last week. Just go and do it. You know, with all this hype, it's time. We've had so many years where we thought a team could have potential and they just didn't get to the top. So let's just do it. You know, bring a banner home.
I'm hesitant to say this, but this feels like everything you guys just said, it feels like the exact right recipe of a team that could make a deep run. Like, just in terms of the expectation is not so high that you're a Duke every year and you end up getting bounced in the third round 5 out of 6 times, but also the expectations are not so low that you come completely out of nowhere. I just feel like if Hans D were flying a plane, they're flying at the exact right altitude of, like, we expect them to be good, I think they're going to be good, and I just think they're going to be even better and better, and they're just going to soar. Right. They're not going to crash. They're not going to be so high that they can only come down. They're just, like, right at the right cruising altitude in terms of expectations.
Yep. If that makes sense. Completely agree with you. The one thing I'd add to the analogy is that you're flying into a cloud cover and just a weird storm that you could get hit. Could not. You could get to that point where you think it's going to be all great. Just some weird stuff could happen. And that's one thing that we sit there and hold our breath and hope it doesn't. And that's all we can do is hope for the best. But yeah, this team, even with some challenges along the way, have a lot of reasons to be able to withstand that. And again, it's all about getting to that final moment, that final place in the season where you can go make your season, which is the NCAA tournament. So, everything is
awesome. Sorry.
Mike from Muhammad on College of Aces text line says, if you expect a Big Ten title, I think you also expect a one seed in the dance. I'd agree with that. Mm-hmm. If they are a one seed, then I think you have to make the Sweet 16. Wouldn't want to lose in that 8-9 game. I agree with that. So Big Ten title, Sweet 16 run is a success.
I'd almost feel disappointed if they lost in the Sweet 16.
I was going to bring up, there's a Tom Crean example in there, where Indiana's a one seed, won the Big Ten title, and got beat by Syracuse.
Yep.
Sweet 16.
A few Ohio State ones, right? Aaron Kraft.
Yeah.
I don't know if that was the Sweet 16 or the Elite Eight against Iowa State that they lost.
Mm-hmm.
And then also against somebody else. I'm not sure who. It happens to teams, right? But I just feel like they're cruising at the right altitude where they're not the team that's going to be upset in the first round, but then they're also not the team that's so low in the tournament seeding that they don't have a chance.
And it happened to Gonzaga and Villanova multiple times. So
they're in the sweet spot.
Right. You'd much rather not be that top team that everybody's out to get, but you've definitely got the talent to be, you know, a top 4 or 5 team in the country.
Before we finish out here, do we have time? To play Brad.
We have time for one clip, so Derek,
I think it's perfect to play Brad Seven, his thoughts on high expectations, which we've been talking about.
Well, I think a couple of things. One, I'm really excited. I'm really anxious. I'm ready to play. And I think one of our guys are, it's been 260-plus days since you played. And these guys are competitors. They're they live for this moment. But I think the one thing we've got to do is understand that basketball is different than football. There's 353 schools playing Division I basketball. We're not all testing the same. And when we do see cancellations or postponements, then we don't just panic, and think the world's coming to an end. Tomorrow there's going to be a lot of teams get their season started, and there's going to be a good amount of teams not. But the train's moving, and we've got to understand that patience is part of it. I don't think there's any doubt we'll have an NCAA tournament. I think we're on the cusp of what everybody tells us, some vaccines, which could potentially help. But will it go smoothly like we normally see? No, that's not even a mentality that I think we should have. It's going to be different and challenging. And but we can't panic, and we got to understand that there's a lot of schools playing, and we're all on different testing systems. We're all on different protocols and have different rules, and that's going to cause some confusion and some things to happen. So I feel great. We're going to have it. We're going to get to the tournament. And we're going to be in a good place. But it won't go smoothly.
All right, to finish out, guys, we don't have a lot of time. Illinois' finishing record in the MTE, 3 games, 3 days. Illinois versus Ohio State. Go.
3-0. I mean, you hope to God that you go 3-0 against these teams. Illinois versus Ohio State. Let's get a 24-point handicap. So if you come within 24, you're feeling like that's a win. Outside of 24, that's when you can start speculating.
Did you just see that? There was an ad for college basketball, and Iowa was the last image on there.
Ooh,
anyways, 3-0, don't overthink it. Ohio State 52, Illinois 28.
Okay.
Respectable cover.
Illinois 3-0 in impressive fashion. Ohio State 45, Illinois 20.
You've been on fire with your picks for the Illinois
for
Inquirer, football season.
Yeah. I took my first L this past week.
I mean, everybody
did,
though.
Not too mad about it, though. Yeah. My fans happy about it. Great stuff, guys. We really broke it all down, and now we just sit back, watch college hoops, have a great holiday. We will be back on Monday. Enjoy it. This is The Drive.
Everything is awesome. Everything is cool when you're part of a team.
This episode of The Drive with Lante and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, movers who care. Visit them online at twomenchampagne.com for a free estimate.
Also by Molitor Financial Group, located at the Village at the Crossing in Champaign.